cancer was once referred to as the big C. Then along came another C, a miracle, really, chemotherapy. It can attack cancers, prevent them from spreading, but it also has debilitating side effects. Well, now a landmark study sponsored by the National Cancer Institute and published in the New England Journal of Medicine finds that many women with early stage breast cancer can skip chemotherapy without increasing their risk of relapsing or dying from the disease. The study tested a test, Oncotype DX, that predicts how a tumor will respond to treatment and how likely it is to recur, and found that the test can accurately identify patients that don't need chemo. Now, some doctors are taking this news as yet another piece of evidence that we may be over-treating some cancers. Dr. Shelley Wang is chief of breast surgery at Duke University. Dr. Wang, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Robin.
First of all, tell us, which kind of cancers are we talking about that women may have that means that they don't have to have the chemotherapy?
The type of cancers that this study is looking at are those women who have the most common kind of breast cancer, which is estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. This very special class of tumors tends to be slow growing and therefore tends to benefit less from chemotherapy. They are driven by estrogens, and so the strategy is that by depleting estrogens from these tumors, we can slow down growth and hopefully prevent any mortality from these cancers.
And these are the kinds of cancers that are most likely to respond to a hormone-blocking drug, a drug that would block the estrogen that's fueling the cancer.
Yes, absolutely. And the question in this study was, if we took a group of women who had these very favorable prognosis tumors, we might be able to choose a group of women who respond so well to endocrine therapy alone that we can omit chemotherapy as part of their treatment.
Yeah. Now, talk about the test, Oncotype DX. It's been around since 2004. What it does is it measures the genes that control cell growth, and it can tell you what the response would be to that hormone therapy treatment that we talked about.
Yes, I think importantly, it measures genes that determine the aggressive nature of the tumor, and it gives us some indication as to which tumors may have a good enough prognosis even without chemotherapy.
And by the way, when a woman who has an early stage cancer that we now know, if she'd been tested by this Oncotype DX, she would know that she could maybe use an estrogen blocking drug as opposed to chemotherapy.
Yes, and the standard treatment now is to, for many patients, is to give endocrine therapy and chemotherapy for patients who are either intermediate risk or high risk. But what this study shows us is that if patients are very low risk, at 5 years, patients have less than a 2% chance of recurrence even without chemotherapy.
Right.
So I think this just confirms what we've always wanted to do, is let the biology drive some of the treatment decisions rather than just recommend the same treatment for everybody. It's kind of like a Goldilocks phenomenon where you don't want to give too little and have a high recurrence rate. You don't want to give too much and have patients suffer incredible toxicities from treatment. We need to nail the treatment so that we're treating patients with just the right amount of therapy and balancing the trade-offs of treatment with the benefits.
Right. And my question is, if that woman who doesn't need the chemotherapy has the chemotherapy, just remind us, I mean, chemotherapy, you take the drugs in through an IV as opposed to radiation, where the radiation is targeted on a cell. Why is it important to know that a woman doesn't need the chemotherapy? What can happen to her if she has it and doesn't need it?
Yes, so first of all, chemotherapy is used to treat a wide variety of cancers, and the side effects from chemotherapy have never been as treatable as they are now. Nevertheless, it's still used to treat a large variety of tumors, including breast cancer. As you say, it's a medication that generally goes in through an IV. It's given over 4 to 6 months generally. And the side effects that patients have, they can tell you very well. The first thing is they lose their hair. There still can be nausea, fatigue, lots of side effects, including neuropathies, where patients have numbness in their hands and their feet. And then there can be long-term side effects as well. And I think those are toxicities that if the chemotherapy is beneficial, many patients are willing to undergo. Certainly many of us recommend it. But if they're really not going to benefit substantially, then those are toxicities that the patient doesn't have to be exposed
right.
to.
Right. Again, but still a miracle. But why do it?
Absolutely.
If you, yeah, why do it? If you
yes,
have
we need to be. We
right.
need to be much smarter about who we give the treatments to. And I think this study gives us much confidence in the community about moving forward with letting the biology of the tumor drive the treatment decisions that we make.
Okay, that's the doctors. What about the patients? I mean, isn't this asking a woman to really go against what she's learned over the past several decades, you know, to say no to chemotherapy? Is that, have you had women balk at that?
I think it's really important for the public to know that even when patients follow all the recommendations that physicians give you, there's always a chance of recurrence. And there are certainly patients who decline any of the treatments that we offer them and still do very well. And we are really at the beginning of trying to understand which kinds of tumors may benefit from very little treatment and for which tumors you need to intervene early and aggressively. This is one step in very much the right direction. But I think patients need to understand that all the treatments we give them are meant to cure. But in the end, all the treatments just give what's called a proportional risk reduction. It reduces the chance that the cancer is going to come back. But much of what we do doesn't eliminate that risk completely. So those patients who are in the study, about 2% who did have a recurrence, need to understand that even if they'd had chemotherapy, that may not have prevented them from having that recurrence. And as a society, as stakeholders in this, we all need to be very comfortable with accepting that risk.
Yeah. Do you worry, or have you had women worry, that because of that test, they may not have the option of asking for the chemotherapy as well? And they may want to. I mean, you know, insurance companies may say, look, we've got this test. Why are we covering chemotherapy anymore?
So I think what's really important to keep in mind is that the decisions about treatment, particularly for breast cancer, where I think we're really far ahead of many other kinds of cancers, it involves a very thoughtful conversation between the patient and physician, and it also requires some understanding of the kind of risk that you're comfortable taking on in your life. There may be many women out there who are willing to take any sort of treatment, including chemotherapy, for even a very small increase in benefit. So there are lots of treatments that we give for maybe a 1% or 2% benefit in mortality. And for some women, the toxicities of treatment are worth that, and I think that's absolutely the right decision for them.
Yeah.
But I think this gives us evidence about what would happen if they didn't have chemotherapy. And this allows us to be a little bit more courageous about thinking about taking some of those treatments, making them less critically important as part of the treatment for these patients. I think there will always be patients who want to do the most, getting chemotherapy, getting a double mastectomy. But I think it's really in the context of fear. And I think if we're able to provide data which gives them some idea of how small the benefit might be from some of the very aggressive treatments that are part of what is offered, then they might choose to make different decisions.
Yeah. Well, we're reading the comments from people who were involved with the study. The people who had the low risk scores with the Oncotype test did extraordinarily well at 5 years, you know, after not having the chemotherapy and just having the hormone blocker. One doctor, Dr. Hope Rugo, is saying there's no chance that those patients would have had any benefit with chemotherapy, and they're doing well without it. Another woman who was afraid of the complications of chemo took the test and scored very low on the recurrence risk, and so she was advised to go without the chemotherapy. She was thrilled. She's been fine. Pretty exciting results.
Yeah, very exciting, and I think it points to the promise of precision therapy, where we really allow the attributes of a tumor, the tumor biology, to give us information on the kinds of treatments that may most benefit these patients. What this means is that we'll be able to pick out those patients who have the most aggressive tumors and treat them aggressively, as we have been doing. But I think it also gives us evidence to start cutting back on some of the very toxic treatments we've been offering to patients. And I think the future is very bright in that we'll continue to have these sorts of advances with the commitment of all the stakeholders that are involved in this discussion.
Yeah. That's Dr. Shelley Huang, surgical oncologist and chief of breast surgery at Duke University and Duke Cancer Institute in North Carolina. Dr. Huang, okay. Thank you so much, and thank you for your work.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Robin. Thank you very much.
So your thoughts, will you be worried to forego the chemo, or grateful? Or have you already confronted this? Let us know at hereandnow.org.